Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Agriculture Report and Science in the News, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, the program that helps you learn American English from stories you hear in the news every day. Today, we have two stories dealing with media issues for you. First, we tell you what President Barack Obama said about the cyber attack on Sony Pictures. Computer hackers recently made public sensitive emails and information from the big filmmaking company in Hollywood. The U.S. says North Korea was behind the costly attack, which has caused Sony to cancel the release of a humor film, or comedy, dealing with North Korea's leader. Then, we hear about the issue of media freedom in Turkey. Officials in the Middle Eastern country have rejected criticism of government raids on media organizations with links to the opposition. You will hear what critics and Turkish government officials have to say. Now, for our first story. North Korea appears to be experiencing a widespread internet outage. The cause of the outage is not clear. However, hours earlier, President Barack Obama warned that the U.S. would answer a computer attack against Sony Pictures. U.S. investigators blamed the cyber attack on North Korea. A U.S. State Department spokeswoman would not comment when asked about the outage in North Korea. However, she did say that the U.S. government was considering a number of actions. She said possible actions include some that might not be seen. President Obama made his comments on the news network CNN. He said he does not believe the cyber attack on Sony Pictures was an act of war by North Korea. The U.S. says North Korea carried out what the president called cyber vandalism. Mr. Obama says his administration is planning a proportionate answer to the computer hacking. The attack led Sony to cancel a humor film about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Obama made his comments Sunday on the news network CNN. He said the stealing and leaking of Sony emails and other private information did not amount to an act of war.
No, I don't think it was an act of war. I think it was an act of cyber vandalism that was very costly, very expensive. We take it very seriously. We will respond proportionally, as I said. But we're going to be in an environment in this new world where so much is digitalized that both state and non-state actors are going to have the capacity to disrupt our lives in all sorts of ways. We have to do a much better job of guarding against that.
Mr. Obama did not explain what actions the United States may take. He suggested that North Korea again could be placed on a list of states that support terrorism. The administration of former President George W. Bush had removed North Korea from that list in 2008. Also on Sunday, Republican Party Senator John McCain of Arizona said the incident was more than vandalism. He called for strong action. U.S. investigators say North Korea launched the attack. It denies any responsibility. North Korea condemned the movie The Interview as an act of terrorism. North Korea said the cyber attack may have been carried out by its supporters. A group called Guardians of Peace took responsibility for the cyber attack. Sony was preparing to release the movie on December 25th. However, the movie company decided to withdraw the film after a major group of movie theaters canceled plans to show the film. A lawyer for Sony, David Boies, defended the filmmaking company's decision. He said it was understandable that theaters decided not to show the movie because of threats. It is estimated the movie cost Sony Pictures $40 million to make. You are listening to As It Is. The Turkish government recently ordered raids on media with ties to its opponents. Now, the government is rejecting criticism at home and from overseas for the actions. Turkish officials say recent arrests of more than 20 journalists were made in connection with a plot against the government. But the European Union says Turkey is increasingly becoming more authoritarian. It said the media raids were in conflict with European values. Bob Doty has more.
Protesters gathered outside the police headquarters in Istanbul. They carried signs condemning police raids on the Zaman newspaper and the Samanyolu television station. Turkish police arrested top reporters and editors. The European Union said the raids were, quote, incompatible with the freedom of media, end quote. Individual nations also expressed dismay at the Turkish actions. German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier said the actions are, in his words, quote, more than just worrying, end quote. An American State Department official said media freedom, the process of law, and judicial independence are important elements in every healthy democracy. She said the United States is watching events closely. But on television, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan reacted angrily to the criticism. He said the 28-nation EU should mind its own business. He also said Turkey does not care what European officials think of its decisions. EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini said Mr. Erdogan's reaction surprised her. She said her discussions with him last week appeared to be constructive. The goal of the talks was to give new energy to Turkey's long-time request to join the EU. Semih İdiz writes about diplomacy for Turkey's Taraf newspaper and the Al Monitor website. He says the president's reaction shows the limited influence the EU now has over Turkey.
Rather reluctant position that some countries have had over the past 10 years or so towards Turkish membership, with some just openly blocking its path. I think that led to this notion that no matter what Turkey does, its bid will never move anywhere else.
Mr. Erdogan blames followers of Islamic clergyman Feithullah Gulen for investigations launched last December. He says these followers work within the Turkish judiciary and police force. The investigations linked members of the Erdogan family and government ministers to corrupt activities. Mustafa Yesil is chairman of the Journalists and Writers Foundation. He noted that many millions of people were expressing themselves through these media. He said they are the only anti-government media outlets. A spokesman for the group Reporters Without Borders said Turkey occupies 154th place out of 180 worldwide for press freedom. I'm Bob Doty.
And that's our program for today. Be sure to listen again tomorrow for another As It Is.
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. For the third straight year, the World Rice Conference has voted Cambodian rice as the world's best. This year, Cambodia shares the award with Thailand. Cambodia produced just 1% of the world's rice in 2012. It is trying to increase that amount. The award may help. The country's rice industry is small and not well organized. As a result, large amounts of unmilled or unprocessed rice is sent to Thailand and Vietnam, where it is sold for a higher price. But rice is very important to Cambodia's economy. Many Cambodians survive in part by growing rice on small pieces of land. Suk Puttavut is the president of the Cambodia Rice Federation.
We need better seeds, we need a better collection process, we need better storage, we need better logistics, also our exports need to brand Cambodia rice to be one of the top brands in the world.
The group has set a target of 1 million tons of milled rice exported by 2015. So far this year, Cambodia has exported around 400,000 tons, mostly to European Union countries. Kia Chung is Cambodia's deputy prime minister. He says increasing rice exports will improve the lives of many of the country's farmers. He says the purpose of the rice policy is to reduce poverty and help people in rural areas earn more. This shrinks the development gap between rural and urban areas. China is loaning the country $300 million to help Cambodia develop its rice industry, including improving storage. But exporter David Van says the country's rice industry continues to suffer from the same problems it has had for many years. He says these include the high cost of electricity and a lack of good seeds. And he says the country's rice industry needs to change the way it markets its product to show it is different from what other countries offer.
You need to differentiate your product from your competitor next door. Otherwise, you will keep on being compared automatically to what the next door competitor is offering.
Cambodia faces other problems. Countries like Myanmar also want to increase their rice exports. And Thailand has extra rice, which is forcing down prices. The award for best rice may help Cambodia grow its exports, even if it does not reach its million-ton target next year. And that will help the industry and millions of Cambodia's poor farmers. And that's the VOA Learning English Agriculture Report. I'm Marcia James.
From VOA Learning English,
This is Science in the News. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Scientists who study the Earth tell us the continents and ocean floors are always moving. This movement sometimes can be violent, causing death and destruction. Today, we examine what causes earthquakes and volcanic activity.
The first pictures of Earth taken from space showed a solid ball covered by brown and green land masses and blue-green oceans. It appeared as if the Earth had always looked that way, and always would. Yet the surface of the Earth is not as solid or as permanent as had been thought. Scientists found that the surface of our planet is always in motion. Continents move about the Earth like huge ships at sea, floating on pieces of the Earth's outer skin, or crust. New crust is created as melted rock pushes up from inside the planet. Old crust is destroyed as it moves toward the hot rock and melts.
In the 20th century, scientists began to understand that the Earth is a great, living and moving structure. Some experts say this understanding is one of the most important revolutions in scientific thought. The knowledge of the Earth's continual motion is based on the work of scientists who study the movement of the continents. This process is called plate tectonics. Earthquakes and volcanic activity are a result of that process.
Scientists say the surface of the Earth is cracked, like a huge eggshell. They call these pieces tectonic plates. As many as 20 such plates cover the Earth. They sometimes hit each other, and sometimes move away from each other. Because some continents are above two plates, the continents move when the plates do.
The movement of tectonic plates can cause earthquakes and volcanoes. Understanding this movement can help predict where earthquakes will take place. Research shows that about 90% of all earthquakes happen along a few lines in several places around the Earth. These lines follow underwater mountains, where hot liquid rock flows up from deep inside the Earth. Sometimes the melted rock comes out with a great burst of pressure. This forces apart pieces of the Earth's surface in a violent earthquake. Some earthquakes take place at the edges of continents. Pressure increases as two plates move against each other. When this happens, one plate moves past the other, suddenly causing the Earth's surface to split open.
One example of this pressure is found on the west coast of the United States. Part of California is on what is known as the Pacific Plate. The other part of the state is on what is known as the North American Plate. Scientists say the Pacific Plate is moving toward the northwest, while the North American Plate is moving toward the southeast. These two huge plates come together at what is called a fault line. This line between the plates in California is called the San Andreas Fault. It is along or near this fault line that most of California's earthquakes take place, as the two tectonic plates move in different directions. The city of Los Angeles is about 50 kilometers from the San Andreas Fault. Many smaller fault lines can be found throughout the Los Angeles area.
Scientists began making major discoveries about plate tectonics in the 20th century. One of those scientists was Alfred Wegener of Germany. 100 years ago, he proposed that the continents had moved and were still moving. Mr. Wegener said the idea came to him when he saw that the coasts of South America and Africa fit together like two pieces of a puzzle. He suspected that the two continents might have once been one and then split apart. He believed the continents had once been part of a huge area of land that he called Pangaea. He said the huge continent had split more than 200 million years ago. And he said the pieces were still floating apart.
Alfred Wegener investigated the idea that continents move. He noted that a line of mountains that appears from east to west in South Africa looks almost exactly the same as a line of mountains in Argentina, on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. He found fossil remains of the same plant in parts of Africa, South America, India, Australia, and even Antarctica. Mr. Wegener said the mountains and fossils were evidence that all the land on Earth was united at some time in the distant past.
Mr. Wegener also noted differences between the continents and the ocean floor. He said the oceans were more than just low places that had filled with water. Even if the water was removed, he said, a person would still see differences between the continents and the ocean floor. Also, the continents and the ocean floor are not made of the same kind of rock. The continents are made of a granite-like rock. Granite is made when hot, liquid rock cools and hardens under the Earth's surface. The ocean floor is basalt rock, a mixture of silicon and magnesium. The German scientist said the lighter continental rock floated up through the heavier basalt rock of the ocean floor.
Support for Mr. Wegener's ideas did not come until the 1950s. Two American scientists found that the continents moved as new seafloor was created under the Atlantic Ocean. Harry Hess and Robert Dietz said a thin valley in the Atlantic was a place where the ocean floor splits. They said hot, melted material flows up from deep inside the earth through the split. As the hot material reaches the ocean floor, it spreads out, cools, and hardens. It becomes new ocean floor. The Americans proposed that the floor of the Atlantic Ocean is moving away from each side of the split and expanding. The movement is very slow, a few centimeters a year. In time, they said the moving ocean floor is blocked when it comes up against the edge of a continent. Then it is forced down under the continent, deep into the earth, where it is melted again. Harry Hess said the Pacific Ocean was getting smaller. He and Robert Dietz said this spreading does not make the Earth bigger. As new ocean floor is created, an equal amount is destroyed.
The two scientists said Alfred Wegener was correct. The continents do move as new material from the center of the Earth rises, hardens, and pushes older pieces of the Earth away from each other. They called their theory seafloor spreading. The theory explains that as the seafloor spreads, the tectonic plates are pushed and pulled in different directions.
Thank you.
research also supports Wegner's ideas. Scientists in Britain recently reported that large amounts of water may be trapped under the ocean plates near northern Japan. Their findings were published in the journal Geology. A strong earthquake hit Japan in March of 2011. The quake and resulting tsunami waves killed almost 16,000 people. A team of researchers from the University of Liverpool studied the tectonic plates in the area where the earthquake took place. Their report says that when two plates meet, one may bend and end up underneath the other. During this process, it says, ocean water gets trapped below the plates and goes down past the Earth's crust to its mantle. The researchers said a large hole lies near the fault lines in Japan. They said the hole could be as much as 150 kilometers deep. Water gets carried down the hole. The report says there could be 3.5 times more water in the Earth's mantle than there is in all the oceans.
The idea of plate tectonics explains both volcanoes and earthquakes. Many of the world's volcanoes are found at the edges of plates. The large number of volcanoes around the Pacific plate has earned this area the name Ring of Fire. Volcanoes are also found in the middle of plates, where there is a well of melted rock. Scientists call these wells hot spots. A hot spot does not move. However, as the plate moves over it, a line of volcanoes is formed. The Hawaiian Islands were created in the Pacific Ocean as the plate moved slowly over a hot spot. This process is continuing as the plate continues to move.
Similar to earthquakes, volcanoes can cause destruction and displace populations. Because of this, scientists are also hoping to learn more about volcanic activity. Recently, the United States National Science Foundation provided financial support for research on volcanoes. Geoscientists from the University of Oregon and the University of California, Davis, studied Mount Hood in Oregon. The scientists say that volcanoes become active when the rock or magma inside becomes as hot as 750 degrees Celsius. The volcano becomes active when the hot magma from the Earth's crust rises and meets cooler solid magma. This can happen in as little as a few months' time. The American scientists believe the magma at Mount Hood had been stored in the volcano for at least 20,000 years, or even as long as 100,000 years. They say that modern technology should be able to sense when the magma is getting warmer and could possibly explode. This could prevent disasters when volcanoes erupt around the world. This Science in the News was written by Kim Varzi and Christopher Cruz. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Join us again next week for more news about science on The Voice of America.